If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Amateur Traveler, episode 598. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about thrift shops and theaters and food, flea markets and festivals and food, parks and rooftop bars and food as we go to Brooklyn, New York. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this episode on Brooklyn, it's a good time for me to remind you that for every episode, we have show notes at amateurtraveler.com, and then also those notes and links in the lyrics of this episode. And I tell you that because there are 61 different references we're going to make, 61 different links in the show notes, so you're not going to want to necessarily write those down yourself. We have done that for you. Now let's talk about Brooklyn. I'd like to welcome to the show Jessica Festa, licensed tour guide and travel blogger at jessieonajourney.com, who's come to talk to us about Brooklyn, New York. Jessie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And why are we talking about Brooklyn? What is your relationship to Brooklyn first?
I'm originally from Long Island, which technically Brooklyn is on Long Island, but they are very different
culturally,
of course. I did live in Brooklyn for about 5 years. I actually recently moved to that Brooklyn side, but I am a tour guide and I am in Brooklyn almost every day leading tours. Still where I tend to go when I want to go out to eat or if I want to go out for the night. Still go there and we take our Uber back to Manhattan. It's a very special place to me.
Excellent. And I should ask, where did you grow up in Long Island?
Farmingville, a place that Sure. Absolutely nobody knows.
You do? I know that. Well, my wife is from Long Island, from Hempstead. So,
okay.
Excellent. And why should other people go to Brooklyn?
When wandering around Brooklyn, it has this feeling of being very neighborhoody, and it's almost like a feeling that's hard to describe. But when you walk around Manhattan, of course, there are neighborhoods, and Manhattan's a wonderful place. But Brooklyn, to me, always felt more wide open. More people have cars there. It just feels a little bit more residential-ish, but with the same creativity and energy of the city. It's okay. Got an amazing mix of authentic cultures, a lot of creativity. And honestly, when I'm looking to do something really offbeat or different, I head to Brooklyn. For example, Valentine's Day is coming up and my boyfriend and I are thinking about what we're going to do. We immediately look at what's going on in Bushwick, which is where we lived before moving to the Upper East Side. And they have everything going on from strange burlesque shows to circus performers to string quartets and sound healing workshops. Just a lot going on.
That's quite a range.
Yeah. We don't tend to find that in the Upper East Side where we live now.
Excellent. Well, what kind of itinerary do you recommend for people who are going to Brooklyn? What should we see, do, or eat?
Like Manhattan, like I was saying, each neighborhood is very different. Mm-hmm. In Brooklyn, you can go to each neighborhood and you will get a completely different experience. And each neighborhood has so much to do that I would say if you're not going to do the other boroughs or do any day trips, you could spend one day on each neighborhood or maybe two neighborhoods For example, maybe you spend a day in Williamsburg shopping. They have a lot of great boutiques. A lot of locals will say, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's recommending Williamsburg, because it is a rapidly gentrified neighborhood. It's also the most popular place that visitors tend to go, but I honestly still think it has a lot to offer. There's actually an awesome, if you're into shopping, vintage store called Vintage Monk. So Williamsburg tends to be a little bit pricey. This store, I buy all my jeans there. They're $5. You can get really cool accessories for $5. It's this hidden gem. Great waterfront views. And then you can end with a movie at Nighthawk. They have amazing indie films and also great cocktails and food. Brooklyn Bowl has great concerts. Output has fun dance parties. If that feels a little bit too pretentious, you can walk right into Greenpoint, which has a little bit of a chiller vibe, but also rooftops and cafes, a little bit more of an open space feel. And Greenpoint's where you'll also get a really rich Polish culture, so you can definitely eat well there. Nearby is also Bushwick. Like I said, I used to live there for about 5 years. This neighborhood is really known for its street art. And something else a lot of people I don't think know is that Bushwick has a really, really rich brewing history. So there is a place called the Brewer's Row where you can actually go and see the facades of breweries that date back to the 1800s when the Germans came. They brought their lager beers. Some of these breweries have been turned into hip beer bars. One in particular to visit is the Well. Always got fun events going on there and, you know, great beer history. And then the Bushwick Collective is in Bushwick, and that's 15 plus blocks of street art. You could wander with your camera for hours and just be engrossed in all these murals. Most are meant to beautify the neighborhood. You do get a few political ones, but it's very interesting. Another area is Carroll Gardens, which is also near Cobble Hill and Borum Hill. And these are great neighborhoods to just wander around. Particularly, Carroll Gardens is known for its brownstones. So you can go and see these beautiful brownstones with these gardens in the front. That's really nice. And lots of independent shops and cafes. You can wander right into Brooklyn Bridge Park, and Dumbo is also there, mm-hmm. another neighborhood that's known for the arts. So that's also a great day. And Atlantic Avenue is my favorite avenue to walk down and enter the park. You can walk down. There's all these boutiques. A lot of them are out of my price range. I never actually buy anything, but it's fun to watch.
And let's circle back around. And now at this point, we're kind of doing the in-between rather than the overview and the in detail. We're kind of in between. So let's go back and start over again and do more detail. So you started us in Williamsburg. And interesting, you mentioned it was gentrified. And gentrified is one of those interesting loaded terms, because half the people listening went, ooh, gentrified, bad. And half the people listening went, oh, gentrified, I like going to gentrified neighborhoods. And it does depend. Obviously, the downside of gentrification is that it tends to push out a lot of the people who've been there for years, especially people who don't have as much money. As a tourist, it can sometimes be a nice neighborhood in terms of it's got the kind of things you want to see, and yet it's safer, cleaner, and things like that. So I'm not going to try and decide whether gentrification is good or bad, but when you say it's gentrified, what's going on in Williamsburg right now?
So a lot of locals, of course, see it as, you know, yes, people being pushed out. But the thing that happened was the waterfront used to be for industrial use only. It got rezoned. I think it was 2005, but I don't want to be, you know, don't quote me on the exact year, but around 2005, they decided to rezone the waterfront. They put up all these million-dollar condos that a lot of locals are very angry about, and understandably, and a lot of local businesses did shut down. So right near the waterfront, there's no businesses that have been longer than 10 years, that have been around longer than 10 years. So that's definitely the downside. However, yes, it is very clean. There is a lot going on Bedford Avenue, Wythe Avenue.
And you say a lot going on. I'm going to pin you down a little more. So a lot going on in terms of shops and restaurants and those sorts of things?
Yeah. So a lot of, I'll say, modern innovation.
Okay.
You're less likely to find that 90-year-old Italian restaurant, but you will find the trendiest rooftop in Brooklyn. So if that is what you
and
want.
What is the trendiest rooftop in Brooklyn today?
Westlight. Yes, it's really nice. The Wythe Hotel used to be the rooftop that people went to. Not sure if it was the highest, but it was right on the water and you had a great view of Manhattan. Now Westlight is higher. I want to say it's the 22nd floor. that you're going to be on, but it's complete 360 degree views. And even in winter, you can go outside of the glass. So you can actually go outside and take pictures if you have your coat and you don't mind being out there. So that's really nice. The Gap is moving in and all these, the Apple Store is there now. So it has that feel as well.
Okay.
But you can definitely find a lot of independent restaurants, bars, and shops as well.
Well, and let's give a nod to independent, or that you said not at the waterfront, but is, if we go for a little further inland, can we find that 90-year-old Italian restaurant or that local shop that's been there for years that people really ought to discover and we ought to give them some love?
Yeah, and if that'll be more, so Williamsburg, people say North Williamsburg and South Williamsburg. If you head more towards South Williamsburg, you will find more of that. There's also Peter Luger's, which I know people outside of New York may have heard of Peter Luger's, but it's...
Do not know Peter Luger's.
You don't? Oh,
I don't.
Institution in not even just Brooklyn, New York City. It's an old school steakhouse that people come and they go specifically to pair this amazing steak with this nut brown ale that they do this pairing with, and it's really good. And the beer is made in Brooklyn as well. So there are definitely local restaurants and bars and things like that still here. You just can feel things changing. And here's an example. I used to work at a winery. I actually have a sommelier certification as well.
Okay.
I worked at a winery in Williamsburg that is now closed down as of last year because the rent went up to $60,000 a month. And even though they were a successful small business, who can really do that unless you are the Gap?
Got it. And when you say steakhouse, a lot of people outside of New York who have never been to New York probably would be surprised that I've had conversations with friends who are New Yorkers in a big way, who have argued that the best steakhouses in the U.S. are in New York. Now, there are people in Kansas City and Texas that are just laughing off the chair right now. But it is surprising how much a good steakhouse that people, at least in New York, are willing to go to bat and say, you can't find anything better.
Peter Luger's is definitely one of those places for many New Yorkers. For example, my friend who's a vegetarian, and you're going to laugh because I'm going to tell you that she had a steak, and but she's usually
she's not
a
successful vegetarian.
No. Well, she usually is, but she will cheat once a year when she goes to Peter Luger's.
I understand. I have a friend who used to cheat once a year at a good carnitas place in Tijuana, which I always thought was jumping in the deep end once a year. So, okay.
I have a funny video of her seeing the steak come out and she's almost in tears. She's just like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to eat this. But you know, it comes with like the really good sides, the cream spinach, and in events you get dressed up and you have your red wine and it's a big thing.
Anything we want to recommend that people do or see in Williamsburg?
Whether you go to a rooftop bar or you just walk to the waterfront area, there's a little beach over there. The dock is over there. And a beautiful park in the warmer months, and this is true for many neighborhoods, but it's just got that wonderful vibe of everyone's outside. And there actually is this great waterfront park. People have their dogs, listen to music, reading a book, but it's a great feel. Brooklyn Bowl always has stuff going on.
Brooklyn Bowl is a bowling alley, I'm assuming.
Bowling alley, but also they do concerts, dance parties, all kinds of events. And then also fun for, you know, if people are coming for nightlife, Williamsburg has a lot of opportunities for that. Williamsburg has a club called Output that has great DJs and all that kind of stuff, but it's so unpretentious. And when you go there, the doorman's really nice to you. Whether you're a guy or a girl, they're going to greet you. It has a nice...
Is that allowed in New York?
That's another difference, I'll say, between going out in Manhattan versus Brooklyn. And of course, you could definitely go out in Manhattan, go to a dive bar, or go to... a little lounge and people are totally nice to you, but you definitely find these rooftops and stuff. You have to put on a show and they treat you horribly. And then you get in and it's like, oh my gosh, I got in. Like Brooklyn, I'm sure it exists somewhere, but I have never experienced that there. Even at the big quote unquote rooftops and clubs, it's still, you can wear what you want. You could look like whatever and everyone will be nice to you still, which I really like. I appreciate that.
Okay. Excellent. Anything more in Williamsburg? Do we want to move on to Greenpoint?
Vintage Monk is worth the trip to Williamsburg if you're into shopping and you want to find a deal. And then right next door to that is Buffalo Exchange, which is another vintage shop, but it's that used vintage thing. So it's used clothes, but you can find really, really good stuff and it's super affordable.
Okay, excellent. And you mentioned Greenpoint being a Polish community, or at least that has Polish roots. What's the best way to get in touch with the Polish roots in Greenpoint?
There's a few blocks that are all together, and you will just walk around and people are speaking Polish. If you don't speak Polish, you're not going to recognize any of the signs. So in Williamsburg also, they have some of the best markets, and this is especially true in the warmer months when the Brooklyn Flea and Smorgasburg are going to be out on the waterfront, and you can get really good food from all different kinds of purveyors, but also great shopping, vintage jewelry, all that kind of stuff. My favorite year-round market is in Williamsburg, and that is called Artisan Fleas. And it's almost like a party. You walk in, there's a DJ. It's humongous. Okay. You could walk around for hours, and there's these little stalls.
So even if I'm not buying, have no room in my suitcase, it might still be worth going, is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And it's also fun to see what people are making, because it's not going to be stuff you're going to see at Macy's or even at other markets that are always around. It's very centered on creative artists in Brooklyn creating things that you, it has more of like an Etsy feel versus a department store feel for sure.
Okay, got it.
Very creative. If it's cold out and you want to escape the chill, two great things you can do. One, there is a place called Baked in Brooklyn that my friends and I are fans of for doing a BYOB art experience. You can bring in your own wine and your beer, and you go in, you pay, I think it's $7 for a studio fee, and then you pick a ceramic, a plate, a mug, whatever you want to make, and they supply the paints and all that. You just pay for the ceramic and paint it, and you can stay there as long as you want. It's really fun.
Okay.
They also have one of the quirkiest museums in New York City. It's called the City Reliquary.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a $5 admission, and then you explore New York City through really strange artifacts that range from everything from a rotting birthday cake that's 60-plus years old to old rat bones to rocks found in random places around the city. So really quirky finds.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that you sold me that I'm doing that on my next trip to Brooklyn, but all right.
Something different from the Met and the MoMA.
Sure. Okay. And then you mentioned Greenpoint, and Greenpoint having its Polish roots. Any place that we can best get in touch with those Polish roots in Greenpoint?
So once you are in Greenpoint, there are a few blocks that just have a ton of Polish shops and restaurants. And you'll notice, because you're not going to be able to read the signs unless you speak Polish. But there is one that is sort of the one that most people go to called Karczma. It's not sure of the exact pronunciation, but it's K-A-R-C-Z-M-A.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious food. They'll definitely bring you out different kinds of vodkas. Hearty platters. You will be stuffed after you leave.
Lots and of it's meat, also not, I'm guessing.
Lots of meat, yes. And I feel like when I go there, I end up sharing one plate between two people, and it's still tons of food. So that's always a great time. They also, like Williamsburg, have the rooftops and the cafes. There's one rooftop called Northern Territory.
Okay.
That offers really great views. And then I'm a fan of a place called Brooklyn Barge. It's seasonal, but you are right on the water and you go onto this little boat to order your drinks and your food. And if it's nice out, you'll be there all night just enjoying the weather and the views.
And Jesse, I'm gathering that you like food.
I do.
And do you do food tours of Brooklyn, by the way?
In Bushwick. I do a photography and food tour.
Just a guess. And are there other things that we want to do besides eat in Greenpoint?
Honestly, typically when I go there, it is for the waterfront, for the drinks outside, or yeah.
Well, and just for geography, so far what we've done, Williamsburg, which is down by the Lower East Side of Manhattan across the Williamsburg Bridge, and then Greenpoint, which is just a little further north in there. And then you took us to Bushwick next.
Well, just one more note, actually. When you're walking from Williamsburg to Greenpoint, you can also stop in McCarran Park.
Okay.
You know, it's not Central Park or anything huge, but it is a really nice park. People are running. Sometimes there's events like live movies. There might be little vendors there. It mm-hmm. just depends on the weekend and what's going on, but it's worth giving a little wander over there.
Okay. So you mentioned then Bushwick as the next stop. And street art and breweries are two of the things that you mentioned. Is there good guide to the street art in Bushwick?
The street art, many of the murals change every year.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I actually lead a tour in Bushwick of the street art where I talk about the different artists. And it's interesting because each artist has their own mission and their own style.
Okay.
And a lot of people go to Bushwick and they're like, oh, pretty murals, but they don't really know all of the thinking and creativity.
The subculture and the
Well, the subculture, but also the goals. For example, there's a street artist named Louis Masai who does these murals of animals that are vulnerable and endangered in the local community or the local area that he's doing his art in. And you'll know it's him because it's going to be an animal that looks like a quilt. It has different quilt patchings on it. And it has a bee with a needle sewing the animal. And the project is called The Art of Being. Huh. He's raising awareness, which I think is really awesome. But if you didn't really know about him, you might not totally get what he's trying to do. I mean, it says The Art of Being on it, but you're not going to know what that means.
Right.
Unless you know a little bit about it. But if you want to see the street art, you would get off at the Jefferson stop in Bushwick on the L train.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it right away. I mean, you come out and it's in your face. It's great. The guy who started it, Joe Ficalora, is actually a Brooklyn native. And really sad history, but his father was murdered in the 90s walking home from work in that area. His mother passed away from a brain tumor in, I want to say, 2011. So basically what he wanted to do was turn these streets that became really sad for him into something inspiring.
Hmm.
And also Bushwick, I mean, historically wasn't the best neighborhood. When I moved there, I guess it was 7 years ago, my dad, who grew up in the city, didn't speak to me for a month. I'm not even kidding. He was so angry because he remembers it from when he was a kid. And he's like, I wouldn't have flown over that, let alone let you live there. So now you can go there. I don't want to scare anyone from going here because it's definitely worth a visit. And I'll say again, great restaurants and shops. There's a place I love called Sea Wolf that has really good seafood, as the name states. And when it's warm out, sit outside, which is great. If you want to see the weirdest shows of your life, there is a place in Bushwick called Bizarre Bar. And I mean, this is more no children allowed kind of things. It's a little more on the dark side, but okay. It's really interesting and experimental. And you'll find a lot of that in Bushwick. If you want to see something different that you're not going to find in Manhattan or you're not going to find at any Broadway theater, you're going to go to Bushwick and Bizarre Bar. There's the Bushwick Star is more of like a theater experience. Lot 45, House of Yes, all put on these very interesting performances. It's really interesting.
Okay. Experimental is one of those adjectives that usually makes me run, but some people may react differently than that.
I'm like, I could explain in graphic detail, but I don't want
to. That's all right. No, I think we can look it up. The other thing you mentioned was taking the L train. And while you mentioned a lot more people have cars in Brooklyn, I'm guessing that we're not suggesting you rent a car to get around Brooklyn.
No. I'm trying to, that was just saying, trying to get people a feel.
Exactly.
Definitely do not rent a car.
In my experience, a frustrating place to drive. I understand that a lot of people have cars there, but definitely if you can get around on the train, which you should be able to easily.
Anywhere.
And you mentioned brewery fronts. Are there still active breweries there? Is this more of a brewery history?
Brewery history. So in the 1800s, the Germans came, they brought over their brewing traditions, their lager beers. Bushwick specifically, that area had really clean drinking water, so it made sense. And a lot of these facades are still up. But especially, Prohibition was 1920 to 1933. Yep. And we actually had about 9 breweries stay open making near beer, which is super, super low alcohol beer.
Yep.
But I want to say the last one closed in 1976, Schaefer's. So no, none of these breweries have been continuously being active or anything like that. Interestingly, though, Bushwick is seeing a resurgence in breweries, and a lot of brewers are coming. They're really excited to bring back this history. KCBC is a fun one, and that one's right near the street art. Interborough, so Braven. We're getting lots of breweries back into the neighborhood.
Excellent.
But it's cool to see the old facades. And like I said before, you can go into a bar called The Well.
Yep.
And that was the old Hittleman Brewery, now a cool craft beer bar that puts on lots of events. They do everything from satirical takes on Shakespeare to giants DJs coming in for these kind of house party concerts. So all kinds of things going on there. But you're inside of the old brewery, and they also always have a slideshow playing. So if you want to learn more about the history, just look on the wall and there'll be something going on there to give you more information.
Cool. Anything else before we head off to Carroll Gardens?
Bushwick has, this is a food thing, but it is pretty neat, a raw chocolate factory that I think is one of, just really interesting. A lot of chocolate that you buy in the store is overly roasted. And then to get flavor back, the chocolatiers will add in tons of sugar or lots of dairy. But what this place, Fine and Raw, it's called, does is they don't add any sugar or dairy. They just roast everything under 140 degrees and let the terroir come out, speak for itself. So it tastes so different from other chocolate, but it's like wine or honey or olive oil or any of these things. It really does taste different depending where it comes from. And it's really fun to just try. They always have free samples out also. So if you're on a budget, this is a great place to go. And it's an open factory, so you can see the chocolate being made. It's definitely an experience.
Excellent. And then you headed us to Carroll Garden. And we're not doing this in any sort of geographical fashion, just so people know. So Bushwick is a little further east from the neighborhoods, first ones we talked about. And Carroll Gardens is back again to the west, but north of Greenpoint, for instance.
It's more towards the Brooklyn Bridge. I love Carroll Gardens, Cobble Hill, and Borum Hill. Just wandering around there has a very laid-back feel.
And I put it in the wrong place. Sorry for a second. It is not north of where we talked about previously. It's south of where we talked about previously, closer to Governor's Island. Sorry.
I like wandering around there. Carroll Gardens specifically has a beautiful historic district where you'll see these beautiful brownstones that have the large gardens in the front. And I know, especially for visitors, as a tour guide, I always get asked about brownstones. So it's definitely something I know people visiting like to see. So this area is where you'll find that very safe, very family friendly. So you can definitely feel good about walking around. And nearby is also Atlantic Avenue, which I love walking down for every storefront pretty much is a boutique. And you go in and it's all independently owned places that sell gorgeous housewares that I could never afford, but I just find it fun to look and see what people are creating. And you can walk right down Atlantic Avenue into Brooklyn Bridge Park, which is one of my favorite parks. It's right on the water. They've redone it. So there's this, it's this big photo walk with mini photo series. And some of them will bring you to tears. It's everything from looking at ISIS and the effects of that to looking at floating houses. Like it's really uplifting. And then it's sad and it's been an hour just looking at the photo wall there, but you could barbecue. There's places to eat and drink in Brooklyn Bridge Park. So there's tons to do. And you'll also find down there the most Instagrammed street in all of Brooklyn. I'm sure if anyone's active on Instagram, they know what I'm talking about. It's the shot with the person standing on the cobbled street. The Manhattan Bridge is behind them. The Empire State Building is in view. It's on Washington Street. So that's actually attached to the Brooklyn Bridge Park as well. You'll definitely find a lot of tourists over there. But if you want that shot, that's where you'll go. And then Dumbo is a neat neighborhood over there that has a lot of bookshops, very art focused. So you'll find a lot of art galleries.
And Dumbo down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
Yes.
Which is where you'll find it, oddly enough.
Yeah. So a lot of Brooklyn neighborhoods, actually, if you think about it, are descriptions. Carroll Gardens, Dumbo, Cobble Hill. Bushwick even is derived from the old Dutch word Boswijk, I think is the way you really say it, but it means little town in the woods.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Williamsburg is one of the few, actually, that's not. It's named after the guy who surveyed the land to eventually put in a ferry.
Oh, okay. All right. And Brooklyn Heights is taller, I would say.
Yeah, it's probably one of the higher points in Brooklyn, right. Sunset Park. So, yeah, if you think about it, it is all descriptive names, Park Slope.
And for history lovers, Brooklyn Heights is where the American Revolution nearly ended.
Yeah, Brooklyn has a lot, like Red Hook, Park Slope, lots of history as well.
Okay. And so Dumbo. My fault. We went off a little sidetrack there. We're under the Manhattan Bridge. What are we doing in Dumbo?
I feel like I usually go to the park and kind of wander. Let me go back for a sec to Cobble Hill. that's where I usually wander around to eat.
Okay.
And there is an amazing cheese shop called Stinky Brooklyn that is perfect name for this. What they're known for is pimento cheese.
Pimento, okay.
It's laced with jalapenos, so a little spicy, but it's delicious. And then they sell craft beers. If you want an artisanal deli, that's absolutely amazing. If you want a Jewish deli, Shelsky's of Brooklyn is my favorite. They make something called salmon bacon. It's wild salmon bacon. I like it on a bialy with cream cheese. It's so delicious. And it's called an appetizing store, which I don't know if people, maybe not from New York, don't know what that is. But
I knew what a bialy was. I had you there, but I don't know what an appetizing store is.
A place basically that sells the items you'd put on a bagel. But okay. Even Russ and Daughters is a really famous one in Manhattan. But if you look at their sign, it says appetizing store. So Shelsky's is the same. They call themselves an appetizing store. That's basically what it means. You're going to get sandwiches, bagels, and cream cheese and jellies and those kinds of things.
Okay.
Something really, really neat that I think is worth the trip in itself is a place called Brooklyn Pharmacy and Soda Fountain. So if people like nostalgia, it's housed in a 1920s apothecary store, and they have the soda jerks dressed in the traditional garb, and they make egg creams, which is a traditional New York dessert. And my dad's obsessed with them. They don't have egg or cream in them, but they are milk, carbonated water, and usually chocolate syrup. Maybe you could do vanilla sometimes. So it's like a bubbly milkshake sort of thing. Not really a milkshake, but so it's a fizzy chocolate drink.
Okay.
And that's a great place to get it. But I usually go for more of the banana split, like the heavy thing. That's really good.
And going back to the bialy, which we just glanced over a bit, if you're not a New York bagel fan or you haven't had experience, bialy is for the people who had a bagel and say, boy, this would be better if it had more flavor. Bialy is the king of bagel flavors in terms of if you want more onions, more other stuff on it, then order the bialy. You'll thank me.
And then in Manhattan, there's actually the oldest bialy factory in the country. They say it's Kosar's, which okay. Not to get off Brooklyn, but it's not far and it's really good.
Excellent. Well, and the other thing I wanted to mention while we're down in the Cobble Hill, Brooklyn Heights area, which we were talking about Dumbo, is you're also close to the New York Transit Museum. If you're interested in that whole thing, now that you've been riding transit for a couple of days by this point, it might be an interesting stop.
Members are the few who get to actually take the subway and see the old City Hall station. I mean, you could see it as a visitor, but you could go into it and walk around, which is sort of this coveted experience for many New Yorkers, but it's really tough to be able to do.
Interesting. Where to next?
Yeah, there's one other place I wanted to mention. As you are walking down Atlantic Avenue, there's a few Syrian bakeries actually over there, which is an interesting stop because Brooklyn is home to so many different cultures, and that's one of the things that makes it really interesting. I am a big fan of Damascus Bakery.
Okay.
And it's right on Atlantic Avenue. They've been around for over 75. They're really good at what they do. I mean, for any restaurant that stays open that long, it means something, especially in New York City.
Excellent. I should mention, we have done a show on Brooklyn before. I normally say this at the beginning. This show is not going to overlap all that much with that show. So there are a lot of different things that we won't get to in this show. There are a lot of things to do in Brooklyn. So if you're still interested in more information, go listen to that older episode with Brooklyn Nomad. Excellent. Anything else we want to add before we get to some of our wrap-up questions?
So nearby is also another neighborhood. And like I said, I'm telling you a few things that you should do, but honestly, once you start walking around, you're going to make so many discoveries. I don't recommend trying to rush any neighborhood in Brooklyn. Give yourself time. You could even add Gowanus to your Carroll Gardens day, but each of these neighborhoods has so much on their own. You might want to try to split this up into 2 days.
Gowanus, I think, is the first one you mentioned that is just not at all on my radar. I know nothing about Gowanus.
People in Manhattan don't always go into Brooklyn. So as someone who lived in Brooklyn, I know about Gowanus, but honestly, I'm like, if I talk to my Manhattan friends, I don't know how much they would really know about Gowanus either. But to me, what I think about Gowanus, what I think about in terms of what to do there. There's a lot of art in terms of not just seeing art. Like when you walk around Dumbo, there's going to be a lot of galleries. And it's not that there's going to be many classes, but Gowanus always has glass blowing classes and pottery classes. So if you're into creating things, it's a great area with a lot of creativity going on there.
Well, then I get the sense of a lot of converted warehouses and such.
Yeah, you'll find that there. You'll find a lot of that in Bushwick, too.
Okay.
A lot of warehouses in the industrial feel. Gowanus has a few places, though, that are really, really fun. The Royal Palms Shuffleboard Club. They have great cocktails, and it's a hip space, big games of shuffleboard.
Okay, I feel like I'm 90 when you tell me that a shuffleboard club is a hip space. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, now it's trendy.
Okay.
Gowanus is a trendy game.
What's old becomes new again. All right.
Exactly. Oh, and that's very true in Bushwick, too. I mean, in Brooklyn as a whole. They also have a place called the Gowanus Yacht Club, which is the opposite of a yacht club. It's a little dingy backyard when they're making burgers on the grill and they have cheap beers and stuff like that. So the owner actually told me that he has, you know, every few days people come really dressed up and they're like, where is the yacht? And she's just like, you don't know your geography because we're not even on the water. And that would be impossible. Fun experiences over there. It's for people staying in Manhattan. It's not always the easiest place to get to. Mm-hmm. I think more Williamsburg and Dumbo, Bushwick, it's a little bit closer to Manhattan. But if you're staying in Brooklyn, Gowanus is definitely worth taking the time to check out.
We should say that really of most of the places we've been talking about have been closer to Manhattan.
Yes.
There's a whole nother portion of Brooklyn that goes farther out towards JFK or towards Jones Beach or things like that. But most of these places are not all that far from Manhattan. So are there other neighborhoods we want to talk about before we get to some of my wrap-up questions?
Sunset Park is Industry City, which is pretty neat.
Okay.
Another neighborhood that is really fun for visitors and even locals to see, it's one of my favorite spots, is Sunset Park, which is great for sunsets because it's also one of the highest points in Brooklyn and you're on the water.
Okay. And we've gone just a little further south from Gowanus, still along the water, further away from Manhattan.
Yeah, this will be a bit deeper. Bay Ridge areas over there, which I'm not sure people really know that either, but also a beautiful waterfront community. Bay Ridge is known for its mansions. So you can even go to Bay Ridge, walk around the water, see some of the mansions over there, and then walk south, I believe it is.
Well, we're getting down towards the Verrazano Narrows, which would be one way if you're driving into Brooklyn from Staten Island, you'd come in that way.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then attached to Bay Ridge is Sunset Park. And what Sunset Park is really known for in terms of what visitors would be interested in, well, two things. It has a growing Chinatown.
Okay.
That delicious Chinese food. Also, a place called Industry City.
Okay.
It's this hub of creativity and industry. It's a bunch of warehouses that still retain their industrial feel. You can watch artisans crafting housewares and food. There's a delicious food hall, an art gallery. There's shops in there, cocktail bars, and there's tons of events, cooking classes, concerts, free art classes sometimes. When it's warm, they'll do outdoor yoga. They have a courtyard where I've been to dance parties in there. And great spot to end the day and see the sunset over the water. You can see across to Jersey, Lower Manhattan. There's a view of Governor's Island.
And you mentioned a couple times when it's warm. Best time of year to go to Brooklyn?
New York City as a whole, I think you can visit all year round. But yeah, I think if you can make it for when it's warmer, it's just a completely different feel. I mean, the parks are greener. People are happier. Everyone's outside. All the restaurants put out their tables so you can sit outside. You can have a drink on the water. I think the best time, you know, summer can be really, really hot.
Yep.
But if you could come at the very beginning of summer or the very end of summer when it's a little bit more in the spring fall side of things, I would do that.
Okay. And best day of the year to be in Brooklyn?
There's an annual Bushwick Collective block party that's a lot of fun. It happens each summer and you actually get to see all of these great street artists putting up their murals, which is such a different experience than watching a painter paint on an easel, because they're painting these gigantic murals and they're doing small bits and then they're backing up and it's quite an experience to see it come to life. And you get the chance to interact with these people and ask them questions about what they're doing. There's food trucks. There's a beer garden. There's live music. It's family friendly. So they have face painting for kids and different activities. So for me, that's something I always try to make sure that I'm available to attend each year.
Okay. I think we're going to start wrapping it up. We haven't gotten to Coney Island, but we did talk about it on the other show. So listen to that one if you want that.
Good. I'll just say really good. I have a good food recommendation for Coney Island because...
Absolutely. Besides a Coney Island dog.
Well, no. So that people have a misconception about how the hot dog was invented.
Okay.
So many people wrongly assume that Nathan's Famous invented the hot dog, but actually a German immigrant named Charles Feltman invented it in the 1860s. Mm-hmm. And he had a guy who worked for him named Nathan Handwerker, who invented Nathan's Famous. But he actually worked for this guy named Charles Feltman and then opened his own shop, undersold him, and then helped to put him out of business. And there's actually a historian named Michael Quinn, who he got the rights to Feltman's original recipes, and he makes these hot dogs during the warmer months in Coney Island. It's something neat for people who are health conscious. There's no nitrates. He uses celery salt instead. And they have this amazing snap. For any hot dog aficionados,
sure. Yeah.
Know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
The snap. Yeah, from the lamb casing.
Mm-hmm. So when you bend the hot dog and it finally breaks, it doesn't just break, it snaps. Yep.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
Okay. One thing that's going to surprise me when I come to Brooklyn.
So one experience that surprised me, just as someone who is from Long Island and lived in Brooklyn myself for a long time, is there truly are so many different cultures. So there's a program in New York City, but mainly in Brooklyn, called League of Kitchens, where you can actually support immigrants by going into their homes and doing a cooking and cultural experience with them. And many of these immigrants, like I said, are located in Brooklyn. So a few months back, I booked an experience with a woman named Demira, and she moved to Brooklyn from Uzbekistan in 2013 to be closer to her children who were studying here. Not only was the day really interesting, we made dishes like barak, which is Uzbek dumplings. Mm-hmm. We made eggplant and cucumber salads. But I got to go to a place in Brooklyn that I'd never explored called Borough Park. And I honestly felt like I was in another country. It's home to one of the largest Orthodox Jewish communities outside of Israel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has a really large Uzbek community, which it was amazing. Like when I got off the train, I'm like, is this still Brooklyn? That's something that I think is really neat about living in New York City as a whole, is that you don't even leave your city walls, but you end up in these little pockets of other cultures and you see these things and you experience these things that just introduce you to something so different than what you expected.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Brooklyn.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the Brooklyn welcome and leaving Brooklyn signs.
I haven't, no.
You probably won't see them unless you are driving, but also you might if you're taking an Uber or a cab.
Okay, sure.
So it is likely, but it's something that comes up in conversation with my friends and I awkwardly frequently. We have all these different signs that you'll see when you're either coming or going, and they say things like, oy vey, or forget about it, or home to everyone from everywhere. And they're super random, but me and my friends always like to try to figure out why they might say something or what we would make the next Brooklyn sign. Of course, I don't have a funny answer on the spot of what I would make the next one, but they're just really funny to see and to think about why they say what they do.
Excellent. One thing that guidebooks are going to recommend in Brooklyn that you skipped on purpose.
Everything that guidebooks say, I can appreciate their reasoning, especially, so my grandma's from Italy, came over Ellis Island. And
yeah, yep.
So I have like this nostalgic feeling, even, you know, when people are like, oh, you don't have to go to Liberty Island. I'm like, yes, you do. That's because I'm from here. But so I don't want to diss anything, but I end up going to the Brooklyn Bridge itself on my photography tours quite often. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it is so different from how it appears on Instagram or in movies. It is extremely crowded and is full of tourists taking selfies to an actual dangerous extent. There are two lanes on the bridge, and one's for pedestrians, one's for cyclists. Mm-hmm. And pedestrians become so engrossed in their photos, they wander into the bike lane. I actually have seen some pretty gnarly spills, but I saw a woman last month with an infant in her hands in the bike lane taking a photo that I actually yelled at her and was like, get back on the pedestrian side, because it actually gets a little bit crazy over there. And also, just to bring up pizza for a sec, I personally don't think that Grimaldi's pizza is worth the line.
Okay.
Especially since it's cash only and there's no booze. And I don't know. I don't like the feeling of like being rushed and all that stuff. There's a place in Gravesend, and this will be a little bit of a trek for people, but it's called L&B's Spumoni Gardens, that I think is just the most delicious pizza I've ever had. I've had dreams about it. And they make their own Spumoni as well.
Okay.
It's worth the trip. And they treat you nicely there.
Okay. Dream-worthy pizza. That's the quotable line from the podcast, I think.
And then Roberta's in Bushwick, too, which is very well known at this point. I know tourists come to visit Roberta's in Bushwick, but it's, I call it hipster pizza. They have their own organic garden. They have their own apiary, so they source their honey from their own roof and all that stuff. But it makes for a very enjoyable experience in a very warm setting. You could see this giant stone oven that they are wood firing the pizzas in. So I think it's worth the hype more so than Grimaldi's is. I'll say that.
Okay. You're standing in the prettiest spot in all of Brooklyn. Where are you standing and what are you looking at? And is food involved? That would be the other question.
Always. Well, I will say, I mentioned it before, but Westlight is, I always take visitors there because they're always blown away by it's true 360 views. I mean, places always say 360 views and you
bar.
Got there.
Williamsburg.
It's a rooftop bar. Rooftop bar in Williamsburg.
Okay.
It's true 360 views. I mean, you can walk around the entire perimeter of the restaurant and see every single thing. You see bridges that you didn't even know existed from the top of this. So I think it's quite beautiful. And then I honestly, one of my favorite experiences, and I take my guests for this walk quite often, but start in the Lower East Side, walk over the Williamsburg Bridge, which is
not as much loved.
Not as classically beautiful as the Brooklyn Bridge, but I think it's really cool. It's very industrial, has a lot of street art on it. So if you like that, you're going to love it. You're still getting to walk over the East River. And then you end up in Williamsburg. And you can walk up Bedford Avenue, head north. And then once you get up to, say, North Third, make a left. You'll pass Mass Brothers Chocolate. You can stop in, get a little sugar in you. And then you can walk up to the waterfront, and then you can walk along the perimeter of the park up there to the pier, and you have a beautiful view. You see the Empire State Building, the Chrysler, One World Trade, all the significant buildings that people know in Manhattan, and really nice place to see the sunset.
Okay. If you had to summarize Brooklyn in three words, what three words would you use? Forget about it.
Forget about it. I would say experimental. I know that's a scary word, but truly things that no one else is doing, I think, are happening in Bushwick. Creative and beautiful. I think, there's a lot of, we don't have the tall buildings Manhattan does, but there's.
No, you have the view of them. So,
We have a view of them. Exactly. And just so many places to sit outside, go to the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, sit on the waterfront in Sunset Park. There's just so many opportunities to be like, wow, I live here. This is amazing.
And if we had to direct people to the best post at your website, which we mentioned again is jessieonajourney.com about Brooklyn, where are we going to send them?
So I have so many posts on Brooklyn, but I think that people might be interested to learn more about the Uzbekistan experience that I had in Borough Hall, just because I had such a great time writing it. Like I said, it was such a surprising experience for me. So if people want, I have a blog post on that experience, what we cooked, what it was like to learn about this culture that also exists in Brooklyn. So it's very interesting.
Okay. And if people are interested in doing a tour with you in Brooklyn, how would they contact you?
They could email me at jessie@jessieonajourney.com.
Excellent. Jessie, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Brooklyn.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
In news of the community, I heard from Caitlin, who commented on the episode we did on Chicago and said, "Hi, Chris. I love listening to this podcast, getting ideas for trips and learning about different parts of the world. As someone who grew up in the Chicagoland area, I felt that I needed to add a comment about the amazing deep dish pizza in Chicago. Deep dish pizza is always something I must have every time I go to Chicago. I personally love Giordano's, Lou Maniati's, the Art of Pizza, and Pequod's Pizza. I also recommend two Chicago tours that I have taken and highly enjoyed, the Chicago Pizza Tour and Prohibition Tour. The Chicago Pizza Tour gives you a taste of the many types of amazing pizza in history of the city. The Prohibition Tour brings you to bars involved in the mob history, and you get a drink at each stop and learn history about Prohibition. Caitlin, thanks so much. The Chicago Pizza Tour, I especially think, sounds interesting. I am, as I said, a lover of deep dish pizza, although also a lover of New York pizza, Italian pizza, and the pizza we have in California as well. I also heard from Robin, who wrote and said, I started listening to Amateur Traveler about a year ago and regularly listen to back episodes just for fun. I really enjoy the diversity of the places you cover. As we were planning a family trip with our young adult children to Costa Rica for this past January, my husband and I listened to both of your episodes on Costa Rica. We particularly found the episode from your trip to be very helpful. Like you, we had a fantastic whitewater rafting trip on the Pecuari River. I can't say enough about our tour company, Tico's River Adventures, a small company, more personal service and expert guides. In addition to a couple of nights in Monteverde, we went to the Arenal volcano area. While it was too cloudy and rainy to see the volcanoes, the hot springs were well worth it. And lastly, based on your recommendation, we went to Santa Teresa. What an adventure. While the dust from the dirt roads may discourage many, the beach was fantastic. We played in the surf like never before, and can't say enough about the excellent food we found there, particularly at the bakery and the taco stand. Thank you for your great podcast that spurred a wonderful family adventure. Robin, thanks so much. And I've said it many times on the show, but these are the letters that I treasure. And I literally give them also to potential advertisers and sponsors and say, people listen and they travel. So it's also quite helpful for me. So thanks so much, Robin. Speaking of traveling, if you're interested in coming with us, there are still some places on the 2018 trip to Central Europe, to Prague, Krakow, and Budapest. And then we're still finalizing the trip for 2019. I'm waiting for some information back from the tour operator. You can learn more about that by going to amateurtraveler.com/trips. And with that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.